All right, let's open our Bibles to John chapter number 8 this morning. John chapter number 8 this morning. The book of John chapter number 8, we're going to read one verse here. The passage will be one verse. John chapter 8, we're going to read verse 12. Follow along as I read John 8. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Today we're going to be talking about the light of the world. Here in John chapter 8, verse 12, we find out Jesus is talking right after he talked to the woman at the woman caught in adultery. And he's now saying, right after that happened, he says, hey, I am the light of the world. And we're going to be talking about the light of the world today. I found this. I thought this was kind of funny. It talks about light just a little bit here. This is an actual transcript of the U.S. naval ship with the Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October of 1995. The radio conversation was released by the Chief Naval Operations on November 10th, 1995. It goes like this: Americans, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadians, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision. Americans, this is the captain of the U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians, no. I say again, you divert your course. Americans, this is the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vehicles. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north, that is 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call. Light's very much important in our lives, especially if you're out on the sea. Those lighthouses really help you out. And so we can see here that light is so important to our lives that we find out that Jesus actually compares himself to the light and that he is the light of the world. This is actually, we come to the second time that Jesus says, I am, in the book of John here. And he's spoken this and he says, I am the light of the world. You can go back to chapter 6. Don't go there now, but you can go back to chapter 6 on your own, and you can find out the first time he said, I am, and he's talking about the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. So the words I am, it actually comes back from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. We remember the story about how that Moses was out there tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep, and as he was there, he saw a bush that was on fire, but it didn't get consumed. We assumed in the desert that things would catch on fire, and that after they catch on fire, that eventually it would burn out. But apparently, he was there long enough to notice it's not burning out. And so he says, I'm going to go take a look at this. As he gets over there, God speaks to him through the fire, and through the talk that he gets from God, God actually tells him that you're going to take the people from Egypt, and you're going to take them to the promised land that I promised Abraham way back when. And it says that as the conversation goes, you hear how Moses says, well, I'm not eloquent enough. I can't do this. He finally has his last excuse and he says, hey, they're not going to believe me. When I go back and tell the Israelites that they need to follow me to the promised land, they're not going to believe me. Who do I tell them told me to do this? And he says, just tell them I am told you to do this. And so I am started way back in the book of Exodus, and we find out God called himself I am, which means a supreme ruler or to have always been. God has always been. And we can't understand that with our finite minds. We only understand there's a beginning and there's an end. We are born and we die. That's the only thing our mind can comprehend because that's all we know. But God says, I've always been. And if we tried to make a conversation with God, how could you have always been? You had to have a start somewhere. And God says, no, I haven't. I've always been. And we look at that in our finite minds and we go, I don't understand how that can even work. That doesn't even make sense. But God says, no, I've always been. And so He will always be. And that's what we talk about later, how that if you're saved, you will always be as well with God. And so we can see that the I am started all the way back when God was telling Moses to tell the children of Israel, hey, I am sent this man Moses to take you out of the Egyptians' grasp and take you to the promised land. And so Jesus here is saying not only that he is the bread of life in chapter 6, but also that he is the light of the world. He's always been the light of the world. So we're going to see some things today about light. And I want to compare what light is, what we think of light, the physical light that we see today, and compare that to Jesus, where he says, I am the light. And I want to compare the two thoughts together to kind of get us a grasp of what Jesus was kind of talking about here when he says, I am the light of this world. So if Jesus said he's the light of the world, why would he describe himself as the light of the world? Well, the first thing that light does, light reveals. Light reveals. Light will reveal some things. And this can be a good thing and a bad thing. There's some good that comes from light revealing things, and there's some bad things that come from light revealing things. So think about this. Why do we turn on the lights? Well, the first reason is so that we can see a room. We turn on the lights in here so that we can see this room. You can see me. You can see your Bible. You can hear. You can see the things that is going on in this room. I remember my wife and I, we were newly married, probably 2 years into it, maybe 3 years into it. We were still fairly newly married. And I remember that one night, when we were trying to figure out where God wanted us to go, we decided we were going to come down to Montana and we were going to do like a survey trip where we were going to go around from town to town and see where God would put a burden on our heart. And as we were down here, we were actually staying in Kalispell, and there was a family that was that let us stay in one of their houses on their property that they had. And as we got there, we didn't think much about it. It was outside of town, so there was not a lot of street lights. You could see all the stars at night. It was kind of a nice place. And as we were there that night, we went to bed not thinking much about it, but we turned off all the lights, went to bed. And a couple hours into sleep, my wife wakes up, sits up, and starts screaming. And I wake up because of the screaming, and I'm a heavy sleeper, so it was pretty good of a scream. I woke up, and I put my arm around her, and I'm all like, what's the matter? And she's like, no, stop. No, stop. And I'm just all like, okay, I must have done something wrong in her dreams because she's mad at me right now, and I'm not quite sure what's going on. And she says, just go turn the light on in the bathroom. Go turn the light on in the bathroom. Now, remember, I'm in a place I'm not familiar with. We were there. That was our first night there in this building. I kind of looked over the house to see where everything was, to kind of figure out where we were sleeping and all that stuff. But I'm still new to this thing, and it's pitch black because there's no lights anywhere. And so I knew in this where the bed was, if I get up from the bed, the door is this way. If I could just get to the door, I'll be okay. And then right around the corner is the bathroom. I can feel for the light and flip it on. We'll be fine. Well, as I got up and I started walking that way, I forgot that there was a chair right next to the doorway. And as I was walking that way, I missed the door by a little bit, and I ran foot first into that chair. I howled like a man would because it hurt. I then stumbled around the way. I turned the light on, and come to find out, my wife, she was just all like, it's too dark in here. And I'm all like, okay, so light is so important. If that light was on in the room, I wouldn't have stubbed my toe. If you ever try to walk through a room with no lights on, your feet are typically saying, no, turn the lights on, no, turn the lights on. And the brain's going, I got this. I can handle this. This is not a problem. Your feet are going, nope, nope, turn the lights on. I don't want to stub another one tonight. So light is so important, especially in a room when you're trying to get through a room. If the lights are not on, you can have a stubbed toe or a bashed foot or a run into something, stab you in the side. Whatever it is, you need the lights on so that you can see what's going on in the room. Lights can be important. You know, lights are also good to see ourselves. When I got up this morning, because I'm filling in for Pastor from the first services as well, starting at 7:30, which is normally the time on Sundays. I'm about the time I'm waking up on Sunday mornings. And so this morning when I got up, all my family was still asleep and it was dark. And so once I made it into the bathroom, I turned the light on to get ready for church this morning. I remember after I turned the lights on, you know, your eyes hurt for a minute, then it gets used to the light, that I could see what was in that room. I could see what I was doing. I could get dressed. I could take a shower. I could look in the mirror so that I could see what was going on with all the wackiness of my hair that happened overnight, as well as my goatee. You'd think that goatees would just sit where they're supposed to. They don't. Mine likes to go every which direction after I get up in the morning. And so I'm very appreciative in the morning with the light turned on and looking in the mirror going, oh my goodness, this is bad. And hopefully I can make something out of it. As you can see today, I didn't do very good. It's still kind of messed up, but I blame that on the masks. Trying to wear a mask, it messes everything up. So the light is something that is good, something that we need so that we can see ourselves, not just the room, but ourselves, what's going on with ourselves, that if we put something on, it matches, that if we were to put something on that maybe had a stain or if we had something on our face, we could see it because the light is on. We also turn the lights on so that we can read. I do like the fact Pastor put this light right here and Brother Reuben put this light right here. It really helps out when you're trying to preach from this pulpit, because that light goes directly onto the Bible. I can read my notes. I can read the Bible. I can see really good right here. And I know that my kids, if they start reading in the dark, my wife is on top of them telling them, turn the lights on. You don't want to mess up your eyes. It's important to have light while you're reading, especially early in the morning or late at night. You have to have that light so that you can read. Light is important. So what happens when we don't turn the lights on? Well, we trip on something. And we can't see if anyone is around us. If you ever ask somebody why they're afraid of the dark, it's typically because they're afraid that somebody's in the room with you that you don't know. Typically at nighttime, that's when people do something wrong. Jesus himself even said that those that come to that are thieves that come to steal the sheep, he says they come at nighttime and they crawl over the wall. So the bad guys are out at night because they're less likely to be noticed, to be seen. And so typically when the lights are out, you may not know who's there. And you might hear a creak and you might hear something moving and you might go, who's there? Hey, who's there? Who's there? So typically when people are afraid of the dark, it's not because it's the darkness that really frightens them. It's the fact that they don't know what's on the other side of the darkness. They don't know who's there. They don't know what's going on around them. And so because of that, people are scared of without light. So light is really important. And if you don't turn it on, it can cause more problems and more confusion than needed. So if Jesus is the light, then Jesus also reveals things. Jesus can reveal our sins. He's known in the Bible to tell people that this is the problem that you have. We think of the young man, that the rich young man that came to Jesus and he says, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And Jesus says, oh, you just have to keep the commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt... And he goes through a list of about six or seven of them. And then the young ruler says, oh, but I've done this since I was a kid. I've followed after those rules. And he goes, okay, fine. Your real problem is you don't want to serve me because you have too much wealth. Go sell everything that you have and come follow after me. It says the man went away sorrowful. See, God has that, Jesus has that ability as light to show us our shortcomings. When we measure up ourselves against any other human being on this earth, we can find something in there that goes, ha, I'm better than you here. I'm doing pretty good compared to you here. But when we measure ourselves up to Jesus Christ, we don't come close. The Bible says we fall short. It says that when Jesus was here on this earth, he was perfect. He had no sin whatsoever. And if we compare ourselves to that, we sin daily. The light reveals, Jesus reveals our sin. He also reveals our thoughts and intents of our heart. In John 3:21, it says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Those that are trying to do what God wants them to do, they'll come to the light. And then through that, their thoughts and intents of the heart will be made manifest. It'll be shown. And so therefore, we can find if we have sin in our life, we also can find if we have goodness in our life. And I understand the Bible says there are none good, no, not one. Not any of us can say that we are good. But the Bible does say that through Jesus, we can have good things come out of us through our intents of our, the thoughts and intents of our heart. Jesus reveals us. With the light that He has, He reveals the good and the bad in our lives. And so therefore, Jesus is the light because He reveals. The second thing is that light gives life. Light gives life. So we're still comparing what light is compared to Jesus. Well, one of the things that light gives, not only does it reveal things, it also gives life. Did you know there's something called seasonal affective disorder? SAD. Is when people get depressed because of lack of sunlight. Seasonal affective disorder. That sounds kind of good. SAD. You get sad when there's no sun, when there's no light, you get sad. People need the sunlight for many hormones in the body, like melatonin, serotonin. Also, the body's circadian rhythm, it's the internal clock, which regulates several biological processes during a 24-hour period. We know that, hey, it's time to go to bed, the sun's going down. Hey, it's time to get up, the sun's up, we gotta go. Now, I can tell you, when I was in Alaska, this destroyed my whole biological clock that I had, because in the summertime, there was too much sun, and in the wintertime, there wasn't enough sun. And so I remember in the wintertime, you felt depressed during the wintertime because there was hardly any sun. On the winter solstice, which is December 22nd, we find out that they only get 2 hours of sunlight in Alaska. You want to know why they have such a high suicide rate in Alaska? They don't have enough sun. There's other factors as well. I'm not just saying that's the only reason, but that definitely is a contributing factor to the whole fact that they don't have enough sun. During the summertime, it's the opposite. They almost get too much sun to the point that they only get 2 hours of darkness on the summer solstice. Our body is used to a certain way. It's used for the sun coming up. I'm supposed to be doing something. The sun's going down. I need to be getting ready to go to bed. It's time to go to sleep and get enough rest for the next day. So light gives us life. Also, the light gives plants life. Plants need the sun to grow. Photosynthesis, all the things that come with the sun. Vitamin D, of course, for us as humans, we need that as well. But plants need it as well to grow. I know my wife, she loves plants, and our house is full of plants. And I love the summertime and the springtime because they get out of my house and out on the porch. And so I don't have to stumble over plants all year round. So I enjoy when the spring hits and she's taking stuff outside when it's not going to frost overnight. And so I love that. And she loves it because then they get enough sunlight so that they can grow and be nice and beautiful flowers and plants and some of the other food items that she planted, tomatoes and a few other things that actually are growing pretty good. So the plant even needs the light. They need the light so that they can grow and they can produce a flower or a food or a fruit or something so that we can continue to grow as well. So it gives life. So if we see that light gives life to us, Jesus is the light. Well, Jesus gives us everlasting life. John 1:4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." So we can see that Jesus is the way for everlasting life. We find out that in the book of Romans, if you've ever read the Romans Road, or if you've ever been led down the Romans Road where somebody's given you verses in the book of Romans, it actually says that Jesus is a gift that God gave us so that we don't have to go to hell. The purpose for Jesus coming to this earth is to die a sinless life so that it could take our place so we could go to heaven one day. We're saved from hell because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives life. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's what Jesus said. In order to get to God is only one way, and it is through His Son, Jesus Christ, that died for you. You are to accept Him, and then through that acceptance of Jesus Christ, confessing with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If you're not saved here today, God can give you everlasting life. Not only does light reveal, not only does light give life, light scatters darkness. Scatters darkness. I love this. Even with a candle in the darkest of room, the light will drive the darkness away. As long as there's light, darkness will flee. As long as there's light, darkness has to hide. As long as there's light, darkness cannot be around. when the lights are turned on, the darkness can only survive behind an object. That's why you see under the chairs is a little bit of darkness. Under the piano, there's darkness. It has to hide behind something when light shows up. In the Bible, every time you see the word darkness, it's a form of sin or wickedness in the Bible. Every time you see darkness, it's either talking about sin or wickedness. And because we find out that when Jesus shows up, or the truth shows up, or the light shows up, darkness flees from it. That's why the Bible says if you draw nigh to God, Satan will flee from you. You get closer to God, Satan says, I don't want anything to do with that. He's going to run the opposite way. Darkness hides from the light. John 1:5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It didn't understand it. It had to run away. It didn't matter what it could do. It always had to get away from the light. So when light arrives, it sends darkness away. And when truth comes out, sin will go away. When we read the Bible and we find out that the truth is in the Bible and it shines a light on our wickedness, on our sins, as a Christian, you will typically run away from that sin. The sin will go away from you. You will ask God to forgive you of that sin. And then God will give you the strength and the power to overcome that sin. That's why if you ever see movies, cartoons, read books, you always have the light against the darkness. Jesus says, well, I'm the light. The darkness is the wickedness of this world, the sin of this world. And Jesus always overpowers the light. It always happens. There's a lot of illustrations that I've heard in my life about how that light versus darkness. I've heard that inside of us is a fight, it's a battle, because that's what it says. Paul says, there's a battle inside of me. I want to do what's right, but I end up doing what's wrong. And so there's a battle going on inside of me, and because the battle's going on inside of me, people have likened it to a white dog versus a black dog. And it says, who's going to win? Well, the one that you feed the most will win. And we always say the white dog would be the good white, the good right, the one that you want to win, and then the black one would be the darkness, the evil, the one you don't want to win. But yet, whichever one we feed always wins. If we feed that evil, we feed that darkness, we continue in the sin, the evil will always win inside of us. But if we feed the light, we go to the light, we take the Bible, we use the Bible, we ask God for help, it will overcome the black. Say, where do people come up with this? Well, if you read the Bible, you'll find the same thing. It was there already. We want the light to win. Every time the light shows up, it scatters the darkness. So also we have number four, light gives warmth. Now remember, we're comparing what we know about light today in the physical realm, we're comparing that to Jesus because he said he is the light. Light, we know, gives warmth. A candle will give warmth. I just had a birthday in August, and my wife thought it was funny to put actual 37 candles on a cake. That's not funny. I'll tell you it's not. It gets hot. I was born in August. It's hot already in August. I don't need more candles to make me even more hot. And it takes forever to light 37 candles. If you're older than me, I'm sorry. I think that when you get over a certain age, you should no longer be putting single candles in there anymore. It should be the numbers. So you only have to blow out two instead of 37 or however old you are out there. I like it better if there's just two numbers, and then that's easier for me. So anyways, the candle, it can give warmth. It can get hot. A flashlight, if you've ever had flashlights, some of these high-power flashlights nowadays, they get pretty hot too. They can point, some are lasers to where they end up catching things on fire. So I mean, they can give warmth. And then any light of any sort gives off heat. These right here, if you were to try to change a bulb right now in these, in any of these light fixtures that we have here today, if you take that cover off and you go to grab one of those lights, you're going to burn yourself because it's been on for a while, and light gives heat. So light gives warmth, it gives heat, and there's some stories about putting even a candle inside of an igloo, and it can raise the temperature above freezing. Think of an igloo, you think of a really cold place like Alaska, and they build an igloo, but then they take a candle inside there, and it becomes warm enough inside there to where you can tolerate it above freezing. Of course, the sun is the source of our warmth here in the world today. In the earth today, we have the sun is our warmth. And without the sun, we'd be frozen. The earth would be frozen. If we were any further away from the sun, we'd be too cold to live there. God knew that when He was putting us on earth, the third rock from the sun, that's exactly where you need to be. If you were any closer, you'd burn up. If you were further away, you'd freeze. God says the earth is a perfect spot going around that sun. And that's what you need. That's how much heat you need. That's exactly what we need in the world today. The sun is there so that we can get warmth as well as light. God is going to be our light and our warmth when the sun goes out. Isaiah 60, verse 19, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." One day, the earth will no longer need the sun, because in heaven, the Bible says that God is the one that is the light of heaven, and so we won't need the sun then, which means God will be our light, He will be our warmth, He will do whatever we need that the sun does for us now. And so one day when He comes back, there'll be no need for the sun anymore because God will be here. God, light gives warmth. And the last thing here, light provides guidance. Light provides guidance. Light shows us things that are in our way. If you've ever tried to be outside at dark with no lights on, let's say out in the woods, and you say, "I'm going to stay out here as long as I can. I'm going to try to get that buck. If he stays out to where I can see him while the light's on, while the sun's out." Once the sun goes down, then you got to backtrack and get back to your base camp so that you can actually get to bed and get ready for the next day to go hunting as well. You have to make your way back through the path of however far you walked. And now you're tripping over stumps and fallen logs and rocks and animals. You need some light to guide you through the way. You need something to help you. So you get that flashlight on your head. You grab the flashlight that's in your hand. You have the flashlights that can go on your body. You dry whatever you can so that it can guide you through where you need to go. The Bible is also our light. It's the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God, so it's His words. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The light guides us. The light shows us where to go. It tells us what we can use and what we need to do, where to go, which way the road directs us. Back in their time when it says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path," they actually had little lamps that were oil-based. They would have a string on it and they would hold it close to their feet as they walked so they could see the path as they went. Light provides guidance. Jesus, who is God, His words are in this book before us. And through those words, it guides us on how we are to live our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 actually tells us that we are the light of the world. After Jesus has now died on the cross, rose again, He's up in heaven today. Now He says, you're the light of the world. If you are a Christian here today, you are the light of the world. If you're saved, you are the light of the world. We are to be shining in a dark world to point people to Jesus. That's our purpose. Have you ever thought about the moon? Think about this. The moon sheds no light. It has no light. The sun is what gives light. It then hits the moon and it reflects onto the earth. That's why at night, just a few days ago, we had a full moon and it was nice and bright outside. Because the sun was hitting the moon and it was shining off of that onto us, we could see a little bit more here on the earth. You know, that's the way we're supposed to be. If you're saved here today, if you're a Christian here today, you know you're going to heaven one day. The Bible says that we are supposed to be reflections of Jesus. People should see Jesus in us. Not to show how good we are, but to show how good Jesus is. We are to reflect. How about this? Think about this. When we put lights up on the United States flag, we do so that everyone can see the flag. The light points directly at the flag so everyone can see it. The point of the light at the bottom of the pole is to point up to the American flag so that you can see the American flag. The purpose is the light to show you the flag. Never does that light point on itself or even to another light. The purpose is to point it to what the object is that it's lighting up. That's what we're supposed to do. We would be like the conduit where the light would flow through us, through the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then we shine it out in the world of darkness, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're fighting not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against the people, but we're fighting against the things of this world, and it says the darkness of this world. That's what we're fighting against. The evil, the wickedness, the sin of this world, that's what we're fighting against. Listen, people are going to do the evil. People are going to have sin. People are going to reveal that they have that sin. But we're not fighting that person. We're fighting the sin and the wickedness that was created in this wicked world. Our light is to shine the light on Jesus to say, hey, you know, I was there once. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell, and I deserved hell because of the sin that I had committed. I was there once. But then I met a man named Jesus. And when I met a man named Jesus, he showed me my sin. And he showed me, because of my sin, that I was going to be judged for my sin. And that is the second death that the Bible talks about. And that is hell. That is the lake of fire. And I didn't want to go there. Everything in the Bible that talks about hell and the lake of fire is not pleasant. It's not fun. It's not exciting. You're not going to have a party there. It's not like people are saying today. It's not exciting. God says, but if you don't repent of those sins, if you don't accept my Son Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will have to be punished for your sins. And you will go to an everlasting fire. He said, but I didn't want that for you, so I sent my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and raise again the third day so that you can take, that he can take your penalty for sin. You just have to believe him. Brother John, it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. I just have to believe that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was buried, and rose again the third day. I have to believe that that would take away my sins and repent of my sins. That's all I have to do? Yeah. No, I should have to do something. I should have to have good works. I should have to be doing something good. You know, I got to help that lady across the street. I got to make sure that I help that person that's fallen down. I got to go do that. I got to do something, right? No. If you had to do something to go to heaven, why did Jesus have to come to this earth? He wouldn't have had to if you had to do something to get yourself to heaven. So all we have to do is accept him as the payment for my sins. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. If you've never been saved today, today would be a good time to get saved. Jesus talked more in the Bible about hell than heaven. It's a real place. It's not a fun place. It's not going to be exciting. The Bible says it's full of darkness, fire, and where you will never die. I mean, it's an eternal death, but your body will never die out. Not exciting. But he says there's another place that you can go as well, and it's heaven. And heaven is a wonderful place. Streets of gold, pearly gates. God's going to be there. He's the light of it. Jesus will be there, the Holy Spirit, others that have accepted Jesus Christ, mansions, trees with multiple fruits. It'll be exciting. No pain. That'll be exciting. You get your choice. You can take the full punishment of your sin upon yourself at the day you die, and then you'll be judged for what you did in the lake of fire. Or you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you'll get eternity in heaven. It's your choice. If you are saved, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now the light of the world. Just like Jesus. Light does a lot of things. Light reveals. Light gives life. Light scatters darkness. Light gives warmth. And light provides guidance. If that's what Jesus was as light, and He now says you have to be the light of this world, as Christians, have you been doing those things? Are you light? John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We strive towards, as humans, our body strives towards the wickedness, because our deeds are evil. But God says, once you're saved, you're the light. You must tell others about Jesus. You must direct them to Jesus. You must show them the way. Are you saved here tonight? If you're not, let us show you how to get saved. If you are saved here tonight, have you been the light of this world? Have you been shining that light that this world so desperately needs? If not, maybe you need to make that commitment today. Let's stand.